So when we first started, we started the show. We were going to call it Fire. We were going to call it Fire. And then Comedy Central started a show called The Burn with Jeff Ross. And this would have been Fire with John Ross. So we were like, that would seem like we're ripping it off. But then, so we turned it into Stab, because everyone takes a stab. And then Comedy Central ripped us off with a show called At Midnight. No, we did start before At Midnight, and then At Midnight. And now At Midnight, we've outlasted At Midnight. It's gone. So now we should try to get this on True TV, if not, or something, or a YouTube channel. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and start. Are you guys ready? Okay. Here we go.
Roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned 4 specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they'll now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience.
That's you.
In a show called Stab.
Oh, hello. Welcome to Stab. The soon-to-be TV show. Please welcome to the stage, JoJo Lewis. Joge. Sitting in the middle, we got Nick Bruner. And another guy named Jesse Jones. Jesse Jones. Both shows. Welcome, everyone. I'll kill that. JoJo.
Hi.
It's been a long time.
Shouldn't have left you. Anyone know that song?
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome.
You shouldn't have left me.
Yeah.
Are you both my ex-wives?
Going for a hat trick? He just got married.
I didn't get married.
You're gonna.
I just had a baby.
Oh, well,
I didn't
whatever.
Have the baby. I should have, though.
You wanted it.
I should have had that baby. JoJo. Yeah. So, JoJo Lewis, here's some jokes about you.
Okay.
When it comes to JoJo Lewis, the answer is always yes. But that's only if the question is, do you run a video gaming channel on YouTube? Which you do.
Yeah, I do.
What's the name of that video gaming channel?
It's called JoJo Has Fun.
JoJo Has Fun. YouTube, so there's no nudity.
No,
that's
not
good.
A bit.
I mean, it's not good.
I mean, I play naked, but you can't see me.
Right. Very good, JoJo. Congrats. How many subscribers?
250.
250? Mm-hmm. That's a lot.
It's okay.
It is a lot. I think, okay. Nick Bruner.
Hi, John Ross.
Hello.
Hey.
Are you daring me to comment on how you're holding that wine again?
Why, whatever do you mean, John Ross?
I feel like you do it on purpose now. Because you've done it the last few shows and then I...
Look,
you know.
This is how I hold wine. I've always held wine this way. You've always commented on me holding wine this way. This is classy.
At least we're consistent.
Yeah, this is how public radio holds wine.
Right, that's right. You may recognize Nick's voice... from Cap Radio, an NPR affiliate.
How do you do? I'm better than everybody in the room.
Oh, man.
That's right.
True. Now, I don't know if you...
Yeah. Oh, there's a white privileged boy in the room? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sitting in a seat. Yeah, you know, if I wish my name were Benton, that would just make this better. Yeah.
So I was going to say a mean joke about you. Nick Bruner works for a local NPR affiliate. But that's not the reason he's a dick. He's just a dick in general. It doesn't have anything to do. I didn't know whether to like call you a dick or talk about how you're nasally. I don't know. I was like, what
well,
are we?
Well, we come from, I come from middle America where all vowels are hard. So it's too cold to luxuriate in a California A like you all do here.
Luxuriate.
Yeah, exactly. We use words like luxuriate.
Luxuriate.
Yeah.
Very good.
We also say dat cam.
Dat cam. Dat cam. Dat cam girl. All right. Sorry. Jesse Jones.
Yeah.
Jesse Jones.
Hi.
Boy. When Jesse's not writing, something for Stab, or bartending at the Comedy Spot. Which is not writing for Stab or bartending at the Comedy Spot. He spends his spare time not liking people in other places. Let's play Stab. Let's play Stab.
Stab. I wish I could defend myself.
No time. Okay. That's a lot of growls. This first segment's called This Was Today Once. JoJo.
Yeah?
Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
On this date, 1901, Miller Reese patented an electrical hearing aid.
Just say invented.
Invented. There we go. Well, that's... He drew up the patent and then had it patented. Miller Reese patented an electrical hearing aid. Also on this very date, 1952, Wrestler, the Macho Man Randy Savage, was born. Woo! That's Ric Flair. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. How did you choose to celebrate the aforementioned topics in tandem?
This is a very important day for me, primarily due to the fact that I have absolutely atrocious hearing. Most people don't know that, but then many a time I've been struck by the classic, a loser says what, only to say what, not because I'm a loser, but because I have trouble hearing when my father talks to me. So it's a problem that's haunted me for years. So to celebrate, I stopped by my local hearing aid emporium and picked up my favorite model of hearing aid, the Savage. Created for Macho Man Randy Savage, who suffered from terrible hearing problems his entire life. A quick Wikipedia search that is 100% real reveals that the eccentric wrestling persona of the Macho Man was in fact a personality quirk born out of having to constantly yell in order to make other people yell back. You see, while Hulkamania is but a single grain of sand in the Sahara Desert that is Macho Madness, the other grains of sand are an inability to hear your mother whisper goodnight, to miss the phone calls from your grandmother every Sunday, and to have to yell every moment of your life as far as you know because everything is way too quiet. I unpacked my fancy new Savage brand hearing aid, which the box described as the cream of the hearing aid crop. The greatest hearing aid on Earth, Jupiter, Saturn, Venus, or anywhere else. I popped it in my ear and cranked the volume right past Tower of Power, Too Sweet to Be Sour, Funky Like a Monkey, and set it to the max value, sky's the limit and space is the place. Ooh yeah! And let me tell you, nothing brings out the dulcet tones of a snapped Slim Jim like the Savage brand hearing aid. And I celebrated my newfound hearing by eating an entire case of them until my insides became so boisterous, you'd swear they'd entered the kingdom of madness themselves. And that's how I chose to spend today.
Very good. Very good. Very good. Any other? Anyone else do a Macho Man, Randy Savage?
I can do it.
Can you do it? Can you do a Macho Man?
Oh yeah! That's Macho Joe Lewis. I'm gonna tell you something, Ted DiBiase. He gets on down. He made the money, put the purple nipples on. Yeah.
Very good. Very good. How about you, Jesse? Do you have a Macho Man?
At one point, like growing up, I know I did. But I'm not going to try it now.
When I was a fucking child. No, I'm kidding.
I'm not going to try it now.
Anyone in the crowd got an impressive
Macho
Man?
It won't be as good as it
man?
Is in my head.
No? Okay. All right. George the Animal Steel? Anyone? Okay. All right. Sorry. All right. Nick Bruner.
Hi, John.
Hey. Hi.
Hey, man.
I can't stop looking at your wine.
It's starting to hurt my thumb and forefinger. Yeah.
Seems.
I'm gonna change it up.
I feel like you have really buff hand meat.
It's a stab first.
Yes. Hold it like a rose. Okay, I don't know. On this date, 1920, the Free City of Danzig is established. Also on this very date, 1938, the first telecast of an unscheduled event happened. It was a fire. How'd you choose to celebrate the aforementioned topics? In tandem.
I chose to celebrate them the same way I do every year, John. I follow the Fox 40 news van as they cover the erection and the lighting of the Capitol Christmas tree and I burn the tree down as they begin their report. Just as the man who founded the Free City of Danzig would have done back in 1938. That man, as you're bound to have gleaned already, is none other than Walt Disney. Walt Disney, well-documented fact, Glenn Danzig took his name and heavily romanticized themes of demons, sacrifice in the names of demons, and interior demon theme design from Uncle Walt. But back to the annual tradition of actually turning the capital Xmas tree into the capital Yule log, you might be asking yourself, Nick, if you wait until Fox 40 is filming every single year to cover this, how have you never been caught? Fox 40 is terrible at what they do.
Oh my God. There's a beef going on now. NPR Fox 40 beef.
Come at me, Fox 40. What you tell me?
So we lost our sound effects, much to my chagrin. So we will not have them. We'll do them in
Somebody
post.
Should have charged that before they got to
it
the show.
Was charged. Excuse me.
Wow. Okay. So that's just not very good to have burned through a whole charge.
Guys, can we just have a nice night out?
Are you two gonna get divorced in front of us? I don't want that.
Somebody's new toy.
You're number three, motherfucker. Okay. I didn't have a kid with you. I won't stay with you. All right. Jesse Jones.
Yeah.
On this date, 1919, Judge Joseph Wapner of the People's Court was born. Yeah, right? Today, he died actually recently. Oh, I don't know. Okay. Today is also National Bunt Day. How did you choose to celebrate Judge Wapner and Bunt Day?
Normally, I do all of the judgmentating up in this piece. I gaze upon the frontier of the current collective subconscious in order to topographically map the near future of what will be thought of as what is then. But in honor of Judgy Wop and his court of the people, I've decided for one day only to open up the world of tomorrow judicifying to you, the attending attendees, the very ones at which I usually spill my judgment upon. Are you ready for such awe-inspiring power over tomorrow's thought mind?
Yes.
Bullshit you are! But regardless, the power is now in your hands. Use it wisely. Bunt cake. Delicious dessert option or dry clump of mouth disappointment. What say you people, judges? Nothing? Exactly as I would expect from all of you. Either way, you're wrong. Bunt cake is the head cheese of desserts. Deliciously co-opting a term usually applied to something delicious in order to assault your taste hole with sadness and regret. Leggings or leggings as pants? Yes or of course yes? Wrong! Overruled! I decline your invitation to your thong fashion show. If I wanted to know what color your whale tail was, I would just assume it based on the level of sadness in your eyes. Lastly, Nickelback. Nickelback. Yes, this is how you remind me that it was a mistake entrusting you with this sort of power. I expected more of a interactivity in this segment is why it doesn't matter. The disappointment sits in your laps and yours alone. In fact, I already foresaw this mistake before I even mistook it. This exhibition of your poorly developed judgment muscles has just reinforced my rock-solid claim of the title of social thought-scaping trend sniper. Until we meet again, Just remember that I'm right. And as long as you listen, so are you. Now, Doug Llewellyn has some paperwork for you on your way out.
Very good. This was Today Once. We're pretending there's sounds between. We're pretending that there's sound effects. Okay, just two Macho Man impressions between. All right, there we go. This next segment's called Reorganization. You may recognize it from the last show. Please take this existing acronym, reimagine it. What does it now stand for? Who or what does it now represent? In recognition of people showing up to shit, today's acronym is RSVP. RSVP. Jojo, what does RSVP mean to you?
Listen, partner, just because you shot a deer doesn't mean you can eat the whole thing at once or that you even should. There's a lot on a deer you shouldn't eat. Fur, bones, hooves, the bullet, lots of stuff. Which is why you should consider RSVP, ranch-style venison pudding. A rendering technique where the deer is placed piece by piece in one of them fruity Nutribullets and poured into leftover plastic oil cups. What makes it ranch style? Duh, mayonnaise. Garnish the cups with a generous dollop of best foods and a sprig of mint, and hey, you got yourself a tasty after-dinner treat. Sneak it in a paper bag to work and let your thieving office mates learn the error of their ways when they bite into what they believe is a delicious pilfered jello. Plus, RSVP will definitely get your hippie liberal girlfriend in a family mood because it uses 100% of the animal. Toss it in the icebox. Ranch style venison pudding will keep for the better part of a season. By cracking. Especially because you can't tell if it's rotten or not because it's fucking venison.
Very good, JoJo.
Thank you.
Ranch style venison pudding. Nick Bruner. Nick the Dick Bruner. Sorry.
It's pretty neat.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's pretty neat. I know. You shaved your head. I'm sorry. You look good, actually. I did shave
my head. You like your head. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, and I heard every rhyme with dick from like third grade on, man. Well, there's nothing you could possibly do.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Okay.
Neat watch cap.
What is... I'm a fisherman. Some sort.
What's your question, Baltimore? I'm busy.
It's like a warm head, okay? Unlike some people. Okay, RSVP. What does it mean to you? Sorry.
RSVP. First of all, you guys, respondez, s'il vous plaît. Is anyone else surprised that that's all it means? Why even bother with the acronym? Okay. I'm from Illinois. I'm sorry, what's that in the back? I'm from Illinois, and since moving to California, I've noticed that everybody's plans are totally flexible. No matter if it's on your calendar, or if you've said this is what we're gonna do, or if this is totally the one thing I've got going on this weekend, so please don't do anything else. There's no such thing as a for sure thing, even after you've made the commitment. In Illinois, word is bond. Especially rural Illinois, where I'm from, where there isn't shit to do but to chuck gravel into a paint can or kick back and whittle some. Legitimate forms of entertainment. So you know we are showing up with the expectation that you are too. Otherwise, it's simply the height of rudeness. Back here in the farm to go fuck myself if you have better plans, capital of California. Apparently, RSVP means right, sure, very possibly.
Very good, very good. RSVP. Very good. I just realized we've done this acronym before. Yeah. Years ago.
That's fine. I didn't like my first one.
Okay, good. Very good. Very good. Jordan Gannon had returning savior. Very probable. Yeah. Go back to episode.
I wish Jordan Gannon were here.
Yeah. yours was good. All right, Jesse, RSVP, what does it mean to you?
With the balance of power at a tipping point, one challenger can no longer maintain the lie that the entire game was built upon. And finally, all of the rules have to be thrown out in the name of what is right. In the vein of such similar blockbusters as Batman v. Superman and AVP, Alien v. Predator, comes RSVP, Rock and Scissors v. Paper.
Nice.
After being subjected to the mockery and humiliation of continual perplexing defeats at the hands of a clearly inferior foe, Rock can no longer maintain the degrading charade. But Rock also knew that in order to cut the strings that held the whole lie together, he would need a partner. A partner with an edge. If it wanted to, Rock knew it could force Scissors into any alliance it so wished. Scissors would have very little choice but to bend to Rock's will. But Rock also knew of Scissors' equally long-standing rivalry with Paper, as equally one-sided, if much more logically so, as his own ongoing feud with his pulpy perpetrator. And Scissors would gladly join Rock to shoot down the house of cards which Paper had built his legacy around. No coercion necessary. After all, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. But they each knew that Paper hadn't reached its position of power by accident, and it would surely have a trick or two for Rock and Scissors up its devious ream. RSVP, Rock and Scissors v. Paper, at long last, finally putting an end to the Rochambeau.
Very good. Very good. That was reorganization. Wow. This next segment is called the Topical Haiku Challenge. Topical Haiku Challenge. Please have written 3 haiku based on the following topic. As few of his Republican Confederates have condemned his actions of making inappropriate sexual passes at a 14-year-old girl. Man, this story has gotten so much bigger since 3 days ago. It's like 6 people now. A few other Roy Moore's accomplices see things a little differently. According to Alabama State Auditor Jim Ziegler, Roy's past actions are just all up in God's will, stating that Joseph and Mary. Mary was a teenager. Joseph was an adult carpenter. They became parents of Jesus. So let's hear a haiku based on that poorly read premise.
Cool. Okay.
Here's
my first one.
Okay.
I just titled it Non Sequitur, even though I don't know if that's the right term. The best thing about Jesus, he for sure was not from Alabama.
It's true.
For sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
Nicholas.
And some dope 575 you got there, JoJo. Christ Almighty, Roy. This will end poorly for you. Jail will not be kind.
Very good.
My first is titled, As the Good Book Says. Old enough to bleed.
Nice!
Old enough to breed. That's in 1 Corinthians.
Nice.
It sort of is. It sort of is. Love is patient.
This one is titled Objection. Joseph did not plant the holy seed. Jesus was from Mary's side dick. What?
Right, yeah.
That was really good.
I mean, that makes sense, right? Like, yeah. Okay. Okay, go.
So, Jesus now, huh? Okay. What would Jesus do here, Roy? Nothing you've done, pal.
My second sort of ties in with JoJo's. Titled Gotcha Scripture. I'm sorry, Joseph. You expect us to believe that that's God's baby?
That's okay.
Yeah. That's all right.
Third of three.
Okay. This one is just, it doesn't have a lot to do with the issue, but it does because of a very specific term that was used in the quote.
Okay.
Adult carpentry. Joseph's carpentry. I'll build you a nice chair, and then you can fuck it.
Okay.
Yep.
Very good.
I like that all of you guys have titled all of yours. I don't have titles for any of these. All right. Here's number three.
Steal an extra line.
Moral bankruptcy. So passé in the Senate. New hotness? Stop that!
Jesse Jones, bring us home.
Told you you'd get some poetry. Third, titled Roman Smear Job. Joseph fucking knew. These Mary allegations would tank his campaign.
Very good. That was the topical haiku challenge.
Hey, poetry.
Which brings us to the fourth segment called Write an Angry Poem About It. Another poem. We put two poems in this segment because Emma didn't want them in the first one. And then didn't show up. Okay. Please have written an angry poem in regards to the following topics. JoJo Lewis. Mm-hmm. Lewis C.K.
Again. Cool. Yeah.
Angry poem about Lewis C.K.
Okay. This is about the binary choice that every male comedian has to make right now. Everyone. It's called Right Side of History. Look, I'm trying to get into heaven, which means that now I have to say every season of Louis sucked, especially the one with the Tonight Show arc. Every special sucked, especially Chewed Up. Horace and Pete was overrated and priced in a stupid way, and every time I forgot my password on the website, I'd get a condescending email to reset it. He was terrible in home movies as Brendan Small's dad. The Secret Life of Pets was garbage. I saw him once live in Hartford, and the tickets were expensive, and he wore khakis on stage as if that was appropriate. I wore a suit. His SNL monologues are rambling and stupid, and before you ask me which one, the answer is all of them. Fuck that guy. I have to say those things, because if I don't say those, the only other thing I can say is, dude, come on, if you can't jack off in front of a chick, what can you do?
That didn't rhyme. Very good, very good, very good. Very good.
I'm a doctor, fuck off.
You are a doctor. You are a doctor. All right. You were to have written an angry poem about the following topic. Ladies' hoop earrings.
All right, before I get started, I, number one, don't understand what the cultural significance of being upset at ladies' hoop earrings is. And two, the servers at Hot Italian really liked this one. So here goes. Dear ladies' hoop earrings, I am very upset. Because you know that you know what you did. Oh, did you forget? Just hanging there, two loops of despair, ever so jauntily from earlobes so hauntingly waiting to rip and to tear. Fashion forward, you say? They get in the way. Take, for instance, when shit's going down. Slowly removed just so you can prove you're the biggest badass of the town. Earrings. Nothing more than earrings. No, hardly so. Abomination accessories on a beeline trajectory into the eighth circle of hell. With all the appeal of socks made of veal, though through the mud, your good name can't be drug. Though it sounds a kowtow, for now I'll allow, at least you look better than plugs.
Very good. Very good. We'll fix that in post.
Yeah.
Good job.
You know what? I'm going to bet a lot of money that you won't.
Jesse will. He'll do it now. It's a challenge. Okay. Jesse Jones, please have written an angry poem about a squeaky dog toy. A squeaky dog toy.
Bark. Woof, arf, roof, ruff, woof. Bark, arf. Bow, wow. Arf, bark. Arf, bark, bark. Bow, wow. Yip, yap. Yip, yip, yap, yap. Yip, yap, yap. Arf, bark, roof. Bow, wow. Woof. Woof. Woof, woof. Bow, wow. Ow!
That was beautiful. That's beautiful.
Some might call that a cop-out.
Yeah. No.
I might call that a cop-out.
Only all will call it a cop-out, not some. This last segment, which is the last segment of both shows combined. Oh, thank you, Mike. it's called Movie Makeup. Please write a synopsis based on the following movie titles that I made up. Jojo, the name of the movie that you'll be synopsizing is Looms, Looms, Looms. Sorry.
My throat hurts.
In a small town, a seamstress sits, arms horrifically mangled in the machine where she worked her whole life. The citizens of Yarnley Balls know what that means. The loom killer has returned. No one is safe or snugly in this horror show. The killer is using people's knitting supplies to kill them. My God! From the first gruesome murder, you'll be crochet hooked. The murderer is leaving decorative gloves on the victims made from the same yarn. We need to do a yarn analysis. Detective Mike Needle and his hotshot partner Lisa Talley are on the case looking for the pattern. There's only one loom in town that makes yarn like this, but it can't be the mayor. Once this movie starts, you'll be stitched to the edge of your seat. It will chill you to the herringbone. Looms, looms, looms. Rated R starts Friday.
Very good. Jojo. Lewis. With looms, looms, looms. Nick Brunner, the name of your movie?
Uh-huh.
It's called Shit Yeah.
All right, one second. Hang on one second. Oh, you guys. You guys, you guys, you guys, you guys, you guys. I have got a killer idea. Sir Patrick Stewart reprises his hilarious turn as Pooh from the Emoji Movie. And then, twist, survival horror picture. Pooh Stewart has to escape from a house, you guys, that's full of fecal feliacs. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you run from cannibals? modern day haunted house picture. It's just like the movie It with shit. Think of all the laurel leaves surrounding this pile of anthropomorphic poo. You guys, does anybody have any more blow? Because I gotta pitch a movie called Shit Yeah tomorrow morning. I don't know who's gonna buy this fucking thing.
Very good. Nick Bruner, drink that blood of Christ.
Okay. It's not been consecrated, John, but yet I still will.
You don't know that. You don't know what power art has. Okay, Jesse Jones, bring this show to its end with a movie called The Life and Times of Corey Feldman.
Or is it not soon enough?
It's not soon, yeah. Yeah, because he hasn't been killed yet by the Hollywood elites.
Okay, that's it.
No, it's very soon. Okay. All right.
Well, glad that we're set up that way. Okay.
Sorry, very sorry.
Written, directed, produced, and starring Corey Feldman. The Life and Times of Corey Feldman is a perfect, accurate, one-to-one recounting of the awesome fucking life and fucking awesome times of the one, the only, Corey Feldman. Corey Feldman hand glides off of more roller coasters before breakfast than most stuntmen do in six lifetimes. Why? Because as long as Corey Feldman's life keeps shooting stripper pussy out of a t-shirt cannon and into the darkness that surrounds it, Corey Feldman never has to think about the chaos careening behind him. Remember that time Corey Feldman stole a hippo from the San Diego Zoo and rode it into Tijuana? Neither does Corey Feldman. But that's how he likes it. Because the more Corey Feldman pumps his bloodstream with adrenaline and hallucinogenic ring pops, the less the nightmares will pick up his scent and descend upon him in the quiet moments.
Jesus.
Do you think Corey Feldman wants to be touring with his backing band, The Angels? Doing head-scratchingly nonsensical shows in whichever dive will allow him to set up for the night? Of course not! But the only way to keep ahead of the demons nipping at his heels is to hit the fucking road and fuck a forwarding address. Corey Feldman's a goddamn party shark. If he ever stops partying, he dies! The Life and Times of Corey Feldman. Like Corey Feldman's actual life, it sounds like a never-ending cocaine and blowjob merry-go-round on paper. Until you read the fine print and find out it's fucking horrifying.
Very good. That is Stab. Thank you very much. One more time for JoJo Lewis. Nick Bruner. Bruner. And one more time, Jesse Jones. Jesse Jones. Hey! Thank you, guys. Pretend the music is playing right now. If you'd like to hear more Stabs, go to one of our many online outlets, the primary of which being stabforgold.com. Stab, the number 4gold.com. Or check us out on Instagram. Or whatever. Thank you, guys, for coming. Good night. Thank you.